Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, October 29th, 2020. Coming up this hour,
U.S. futures rebound after the worst sell-off in 4 months.
Still, coronavirus infections continue to surge in 41 of 50 states.
Europe imposes new restrictions to stem the spread of the virus.
And it's a big day for tech earnings on Wall Street.
It's good news for some virus hotspots in New York. More on the fallout from Philadelphia's police shooting. Plus, Hurricane Zeta makes landfall in the Gulf. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. A major college football game canceled due to a COVID outbreak, and the Houston Rockets have their new coach.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
Hey.
And let's take a look at markets. We are seeing gains in the futures contracts after yesterday's worst sell-off in 4 months. It is 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 23 points. Dow futures ahead by 142. NASDAQ futures a gain of 116 points. 10-year Treasury is down 2/32. The yield 0.77%. 2-year yield 0.14%. West Texas Intermediate crude oil is down 3.2%, down $1.18, $36.21 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.1%, down $2.30, $1876.90 an ounce. The euro is at 1.1725 against the dollar, yen at 104.12. We'll have more on the markets shortly. First, we want to get you the latest on the pandemic. Infections continue to rise across the country. The change in daily cases is up in 41 states, and now the timeline for a vaccine is being called into question. According to Dr. Anthony Fauci, a shot likely won't gain emergency use authorization until next year.
We're going to find out from that time in December when at least one and maybe two of the five companies would have put in for an EUA, exactly when the EUA will be granted. Could be January, could be later. We don't know.
President Trump and some health officials had previously targeted next week for a vaccine. That timeline has been slowly pushed back since the summer, though, as clinical trials hit hurdles. Karen?
All right. Meantime, on the campaign trail, Joe Biden continues to assault President Trump's record on the pandemic. He's also criticizing the president's sometimes contentious relationship with health officials like Dr. Fauci.
We can't afford 4 more years of a president who, instead of fighting the virus, attacks doctors. I can't get over this guy.
Meantime, at a rally in Arizona, President Trump turned his attention to Philadelphia, where protests have gripped the city after the killing of a black man by police.
The city of Philadelphia was ransacked by violent mobs and Biden-supported people. These were all Biden-supported people.
No word on whether protesters actually supported Biden. The former vice president has condemned the violence in Philadelphia.
And as the pandemic gathers strength in the states, it is also surging in Europe. Germany, the UK, Italy, Spain, and Greece all reported record daily cases this week. As a result, stocks in the region suffered their worst day in 4 months. We get more from Bloomberg Markets reporter Mark Cranfield.
The whole European stock sector seems to have been caught a bit off guard here by the second wave of the virus. It doesn't seem to have been well prepared. I guess some investors were expecting it to be a little bit later, maybe deeper into the winter, before there would be a second stage of the pandemic. But it's come a little bit earlier than that, and it's coming as it does at a time when people are a little bit nervous about the US election as well. You throw in this maybe unexpected increase in virus numbers, and it's just too much for the markets to handle.
In response to the surge, Germany and France are imposing month-long restrictions, shutting bars and restaurants while allowing essential business and schools to remain open.
Coming up this morning, we get word on the European Central Bank's response to the pandemic. Officials will decide whether to inject immediate support for the economy as businesses shut across parts of the 19-nation bloc. The ECB issues its policy decision at 8:45 a.m. Wall Street time.
Well, meantime, it is a busy day for corporate earnings around the world. In Europe, shares of Credit Suisse are down 5.5%. The Swiss bank missed estimates. Royal Dutch Shell posted third-quarter profit that beat. It also raised its dividend. And AB InBev reported earnings that also topped estimates. The world's largest brewer was helped by strong demand in the U.S. and Brazil.
Back here in the U.S., big tech in focus as five heavyweights prepare to report. Ed Ludlow has more from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
Just a day after its CEOs faced lawmakers on Capitol Hill over legal protections for user content, Facebook, Twitter and Alphabet will all report third quarter results. Analysts will be looking for signs of a rebound in digital ad spending as brands continue to capitalize on increased user growth during the COVID lockdown. In Apple's case, Wall Street will want to see signs the new generation of 5G iPhone 12s are selling well in a holiday quarter, but expectations are Tim Cook won't give a formal forecast. Amazon's COVID spending will be in focus again as they chase another record quarterly profit. Wall Street is also looking for significant growth in its cloud unit. In San Francisco, Ed Ludlow, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. And crossing the Bloomberg right now, DuPont is forecasting profit for the year that beat analyst estimates.
On the economic front, we're expecting a record rebound in GDP. Economists predict a 32% gain for the third quarter after last quarter's historic loss. Here with more is Bloomberg Economics correspondent Michael McKee.
There's little doubt the U.S. will report the fastest quarterly growth rate on record, but the headline will obscure the fact the economy will still be smaller than before the pandemic began. Bloomberg Economics estimates that even annualized growth of 30% or more will still leave the U.S. economy's size almost 4% below its pre-crisis peak. The rate of growth has also slowed significantly in recent weeks. The New York Fed's GDP tracker shows the economy expanding at only about a 3% pace this month. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Michael, thank you. A big deal to tell you about this morning. After months of contentious talks, the board of Tiffany has approved an agreement to revive its sale to LVMH. The French company will get a $425 million discount from the original price. That ends a year-long saga involving a war of words, government intervention, and legal battles.
And word of another acquisition in the works. Bloomberg News has learned Marvell Technology Group is nearing a deal to acquire Inphi Corporation for about $10 billion. The transaction would add to an already record year for chip industry deals.
And a programming note, join us later today for an exclusive interview with Nancy Pelosi. We talked to the House Speaker just 5 days ahead of the election. That's coming up at noon Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio and television. Futures this morning are higher. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Karen Moscow, thank you. It is 6:07 on Wall Street. Michael Barr is here now with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. There's breaking news. French anti-terrorism prosecutors are investigating a knife attack at a church in the Mediterranean city of Nice that killed two people and injured several others. The exact motive of this morning's attack was unclear, but comes as France is under high alert for terrorist acts amid tensions over the publication of caricatures of the Muslim prophet Muhammad and after two other recent attacks. The lower house of parliament held a moment of silence for the victims. New York City police officers were out in full force last night to tamp down any unrest from Monday's police shooting of a black man in Philadelphia. Wednesday was quiet compared to Tuesday night in Brooklyn, where protests turned violent. Meanwhile, Philadelphia police pledged to release 911 footage from police body cameras in the shooting death of Walter Wallace Jr. The shooting prompted protests, widespread vandalism, and an overnight curfew in the city. Mayor Jim Kenney.
It's clear that many of these folks are in no way honoring the memory of Walter Wallace Jr. Rather, they are taking advantage of those who want to peacefully protest Walter's tragic death.
Wallace had a history of mental health problems. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says some hotspots in the state have improved.
Orange County has made very good progress. So have other microclusters. But in terms of changing the restrictions, in Orange County, we're going to change the red zone to an orange zone.
Meanwhile, New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy has issued an executive order requiring public and private sector employers to abide by safety rules meant to protect workers from the COVID-19 pandemic. Some New Yorkers have dealt with waiting several hours to cast votes since early voting started Saturday, including New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio.
People waiting 3 hours to vote is unacceptable. It means for a lot of people, they simply won't be able to give that time. They'll run out of time. They'll have to be at an appointment. They'll have to be at work, whatever it may be. It's another way where we lose the opportunity to encourage people to participate.
De Blasio is calling for the Elections Commission to implement even more changes to make it easier to vote. At least one person has died as Hurricane Zeta slammed into New Orleans and much of the Gulf Coast, with heavy rains and howling winds. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. We're coming up on 6:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, three sports leagues completed their seasons all using playoff bubbles that seemed to work. There were no positive tests through the NBA and NHL playoffs, and in MLB all the way until the eighth inning of the last game Tuesday when the Dodgers learned of Justin Turner's positive test. They took him out of the game, but many wondering why Turner was then on the field celebrating at least some of the time without a mask. Baseball says it will do a full investigation. The World Series showed why the Dodgers acquired Mookie Betts from Boston and gave him a 12-year contract.
It's been a good year. I mean, it's been obviously a really good year. A lot of positive things that happened. Obviously, you know, a lot of negative things as well. But, you know, just you got to take the good with the bad. And baseball-wise, I think, you know, we set our goal and we accomplished it. So you can't ask for much more than that.
That's at a double and a home run in the Game 6 clincher. He's now won the World Series two of the last 3 years. The NBA wants to start next season on Christmas. Reportedly, the players prefer to wait a few weeks and start on MLK Day. There's a new coach in Houston, Steven Silas. His father, Paul, was an NBA coach and a great player. Silas was an assistant in Dallas. Daryl Morey was the general manager in Houston. Now he's been named the team president in Philadelphia. The Miller family owned the Utah Jazz for 35 years, now selling to 40-year-old Ryan Smith, a Utah resident who owns a software company. The price tag for the Utah Jazz, $1.6 billion. An outbreak at Wisconsin. The coach, Paul Chryst, tested positive. So did the quarterback and 10 others. The Badgers ranked ninth in the country after just playing their first game, canceled Saturday's game with Nebraska. John Stachia, we're Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. After yesterday's big sell-off, futures are picking back up some. S&P futures, a gain of almost 19 points now. Dow futures up 109. NASDAQ futures higher by 99 points. Stay with us. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Sports was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit burdenllp.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and Spotify reported monthly active users for the third quarter that beat the average analyst's estimate. Meanwhile, DuPont's forecast also beat. We're watching futures this morning as well. U.S. futures rebounding from yesterday's tumble, with the S&P 500 falling 3.5% yesterday. Right now, S&P futures are up about 20 points. Dow futures up 122. NASDAQ futures up 95. The DAX in Germany is up 0.4%. 10-year Treasury down 137. Second yield, 0.77%. The yield on the two-year, 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil is down 4.25% on $1.58 at $35.81 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.1% on $2.30 at $18.76.80 an ounce. The euro, 1.1723 against the dollar. British pound, 1.2999. And the yen, 104.10. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, more than 73 million Americans have already voted either by absentee or by mail. It comes as President Donald Trump and Democratic rival Joe Biden are set to chase votes in Florida. Trump and Biden will appear in Tampa hours apart today. Both nominees are now focusing on encouraging voters to turn out to vote in just 5 days. French police say at least two people are dead and several wounded after an attack by a knife-wielding man in the city of Nice. French media say one of the victims was decapitated. Police say the attacker was arrested. Hurricane Zeta has weakened into a tropical storm over central Alabama early this morning after making landfall in Louisiana last night. Zeta barreled into the Gulf Coast as a Category 2 storm. There are nearly 1 million power outages across the region. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg.
There are 5 days until the election, 46 days until the Electoral College meets, and we are following all the developments in the 2020 race live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studio. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager. Time is running out for President Trump to make up ground in the polls against Democrat Joe Biden. This morning, we're joined by someone who was with the Trump campaign in its win 4 years ago. Rick Gates, deputy chairman of the Trump 2016 campaign, is with us now. Rick, thanks for being with us. And I just looked at the chart on the Real Clear Politics average of national polls. It shows the president down 7.5 points. As Michael mentioned in the news, more than 73 million people have already cast a ballot. Can the president narrow the gap this close to the election?
Yeah, Nathan, thanks very much for having me. The short answer is absolutely. If we learned anything from 2016, we learned that the polls were wrong, especially as we got closer to the end, near Election Day. And I think you're going to see, three prevailing factors here. You're going to see what we call the Trump factor in 2016. It's the silent Trump vote. That's very real. There are a lot of people out there that just aren't going to, admit that they're going to vote for the president. The second piece is the intensity. If you look at the voter intensity between the two candidates, it's staggering to see. And that matters because that is what gets voters to turn out. And then third, the unique thing I think about 2020 race is going to be the early voter turnout. And as you said, we already almost have 56% of the number of people in 2016 that voted already turning out, still with 5 days to go. Now, that is significant because what a lot of people suspect is that the Democrats are gaining an edge on that. But in fact, the Republican early vote, in-person early vote, is actually much higher than expected in a lot of the key battleground states. But this is going to come down to the wire, and it's going to come down to, Election Day and getting people out to vote. That is going to be the key.
Yeah, it's interesting that you note that there's a possibility of a silent Trump vote like there was in 2016, coupled with the intensity we're seeing at the rallies for the president. Is there kind of a contradiction there? Is there really a silent Trump vote given the kind of intensity we are seeing from the president's rallies? I mean, you would think that President Trump's supporters would be proud to say that they are supporting him this time around.
Absolutely. The core base, no question. And that's who, is largely at the rallies. But, there are people in our counties, in our cities, in our states that obviously like the president's policies, but maybe they don't like some of his tweets or some of the things he says sometimes. But that's his authenticity. That's his genuineness. And then that's what has directly connected him with the voters. So there is a large segment, in my opinion, that is silent Trump vote. And we saw it in 2016. And this is why the polls were so wrong, Nathan. And you can't predict it in this time around either. I read an article, one of the pollsters is trying to add a question to some of the surveys about how do you think your neighbor's going to vote? Because they think by asking that question and the respondent answering that they're really answering for themselves, not their neighbor. But there's no gauge for this. And that's what was, I think, upsetting to a lot of people in 2016 on the Clinton side, is they had no way to predict this. And there's no better way to predict it in 2020. So it is real, and it's going to have an impact.
Of course, one big factor that wasn't the case in 2016 is the coronavirus. We're seeing a second wave of infections, and the Democratic candidate, Joe Biden, is really banking on the idea that the president's response to the coronavirus pandemic could hurt him in the minds of voters. What's your view on that?
Yeah, look, the coronavirus is going to have an impact, and it ties to the economy. The economy is almost the number one issue in every presidential election. And in this case, it's coupled, with how the coronavirus is going to be impacted. I think the president's ability to get that vaccine completed is absolutely essential. I think there's been a lot of talk about getting that done potentially, before the end of the year. I think that's going to give people hope. And I think that's going to, turn around the economic outlook as well. I think we're in for some pretty good third quarter GDP numbers. I think that's going to boost the economic outlook from the president's point of view as well. And he's going to be able to use that in the last couple of days to hopefully, get those additional voters out there to vote for him.
Just quickly, last 30 seconds here. Will the president accept the result if it doesn't go his way? What's your view on that?
If it's free and fair, absolutely. And the one thing that I've learned in 2016, and I think people have seen today, is the president's instincts are unparalleled. Everybody wants a free and fair election, including the president. But he is going to challenge it if there's election fraud in states or cities or localities. And I think everybody needs to be vigilant of that and look out for it.
All right, we'll have to leave it there for now. Rick Gates, again, thanks so much for your time this morning. Really appreciate getting your perspective on the 2020 race. Rick Gates is a former deputy chairman of the Trump 2016 presidential campaign. Again, just 5 days out before November 3rd, actual election day. Futures moving higher this morning. S&P futures are up 21 points right now. Dow futures a gain of 131. NASDAQ futures up 106 points after yesterday's worst sell-off in 4 months. I'm Nathan Hager, and this is Bloomberg. And it's now 6:25 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit a Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are higher this morning, but they're off their best levels. That's after the worst sell-off on Wall Street in 4 months. The Dow dropped more than 940 points, while the S&P 500 fell 3.5%. Right now, S&P futures are up about 0.6%, or 19 points.
Well, the sell-off is being blamed on a global surge in coronavirus infections that shows no signs of slowing. Here in the U.S., cases are rising in 41 states, and now the timeline for a vaccine is being called into question. Dr. Anthony Fauci says a shot likely won't gain emergency use authorization until next year.
We're going to find out from that time in December when at least one and maybe two of the five companies would have put in for an EUA, exactly when the EUA will be granted. Could be January, could be later. We don't know.
The virus also continues to spread in Europe, with Germany, the UK, Italy, Spain, and Greece all reporting record increases in cases this week. In response, Germany and France are shutting bars, restaurants, and non-essential business for a month.
Well, coming up this morning, we get word on the European Central Bank's response to the pandemic. We'll learn whether officials will inject immediate support for the economy when the bank issues its policy decision at 8:45 a.m. Wall Street time.
It's a big day for corporate earnings around the world. In Europe, shares of Credit Suisse are down more than 3% after the bank missed estimates. Nokia shares are down 14% on a sales miss and lowered guidance. And Royal Dutch Shell posted third-quarter profit that beat estimates.
Here in the U.S., big tech is in focus. Amazon, Apple, Facebook, and Alphabet all report today. Let's get more on Amazon from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Analysts at Bloomberg Intelligence say a surge in online shopping could continue to fuel sales growth above 30%. Investors will also be watching sales at Amazon Web Services, which could rise above the consensus 28% increase, even after having missed in the second quarter. So far this year, Amazon shares are up more than 70%. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Charlie, thank you. And deal news. LVMH has agreed to buy Tiffany at a reduced price of about $16 billion. The agreement avoids a legal battle over an earlier deal that soured.
And there's word of another acquisition in the works. Bloomberg News has learned Marvell Technology Group is nearing a deal to acquire Inphi Corporation for about $10 billion. The transaction would add to an already record year for chip industry deals.
Futures this morning are higher. S&P futures up 21 points. Dow futures up 126. And NASDAQ futures up 104. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 0.77%. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. It's 6:33 on Wall Street, and this news update is brought to you by the new Land Rover Defender, the toughest and most advanced Land Rover vehicle ever. Test drive the new Land Rover Defender at your local tri-state area Land Rover retailer today. Land Rover. Above and beyond. Here's Michael Barr.
Thank you, Nathan. French police now say three people have been killed and several others injured in a knife attack near a church in the Mediterranean city of Nice. The assailant was arrested after the morning attack and taken to a nearby hospital with injuries. According to French media, one of the victims was decapitated. President Donald Trump and Democratic rival Joe Biden will be in the critical battleground state of Florida. Trump and Biden will appear in Tampa hours apart today. Yesterday, Trump spoke at a campaign rally in Bullhead City, Arizona.
ABC, Washington Post, they're fakes. Trump, 17 down in Wisconsin. 17. Thank you. Thank you. And they tried it last time 4 years ago, too, and that didn't work out too well.
Biden delivered remarks at a hotel in Wilmington, Delaware, criticizing Trump's handling of the pandemic.
This country can't afford 4 more years of a president who thinks he's only responsible for the well-being of the people who voted for him.
More than 73 million Americans have already voted either by absentee or by mail. The U.S. Supreme Court dealt Republicans 2 blows on the deadlines for mail ballots to arrive in battleground states. The high court left intact an extension in North Carolina while refusing to schedule fast-track review of a GOP appeal involving Pennsylvania. The North Carolina extension lets ballots be received as late as November 12th, as long as they are mailed by Election Day, November 3rd. New York coronavirus cases topped 500,000, while hospitalizations in neighboring New Jersey exceeded 1,000 for the first time since July. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says the good news is that some virus hotspots in the state have improved. Cuomo says the red zone area in Orange County is now shifting to an orange warning zone.
In Orange County, the red zone was at 12% 3 weeks ago. It's now 2%, so that's obviously dramatic progress, and the hospitalization number is flat.
Philadelphia police pledged to release 911 tapes and footage from police body cameras in the near future in the shooting death of a black man with a history of mental health problems. The death prompted violent protests. At least one person has died as Hurricane Zeta slammed into New Orleans and much of the Gulf Coast with heavy rains and howling winds. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. It's almost 6:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Update with John Stanshauer.
All right, Nathan, the Dodgers and Rays both returned home yesterday, leaving the Arlington, Texas bubble that seemed to prevent players from getting the virus right until the end of the last game when the Dodgers had to take third baseman Justin Turner out, having just learned of a positive test. But there was Turner on the field celebrating with his teammates, and in a team picture, he was not wearing a mask. Reportedly, he defied instruction to leave the field. MLB says it will do a full investigation. Turner did not fly home with his teammates. Yesterday was a day to dissect a controversial managerial move in Game 6. Tampa Bay's Kevin Cash took starting pitcher Blake Snell out in the sixth inning. He had not given up a run. He had allowed only 2 hits.
Personally, I felt Blake had done his job and then some. Mookie coming around for the third time through. I value that. I totally respect and understand the questions that come with it. Blake gave us every opportunity to win. He was outstanding. They're not easy decisions.
Cash and the Rays rely heavily on analytics. This was a time maybe they should not have. The ratings for the World Series, not good. Games 1 through 4, the 4 lowest rated series games ever. The NFL says Super Bowl 55 in Tampa will have fans, but at only 20% capacity. In NFL trade, defensive lineman Carlos Dunlap goes from Cincinnati to Seattle. The Miller family owned the Utah Jazz for 35 years, now selling to 40-year-old Ryan Smith, a Utah resident who owns a software company. The price tag for the Utah Jazz, $1.6 billion. John Stashow, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
Thanks, John. It's 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
The final polls. I'm Jonathan Bernstein, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Donald Trump's chances of winning a second term continue to slip away. With under a week to go, he's still down about 9 percentage points nationally. And not only is Trump being badly outspent in the final days by Joe Biden, but the current spike in the virus means the information environment is unlikely to help him as the few remaining undecided voters make up their minds. Trump still retains any serious chance only because the Electoral College appears to be biased in favor of Republicans this year, as it was in 2016, and perhaps a little more so. Still, that won't be enough. It appears he'll need a large polling error, bigger than the one last time, to win. We can't know the chances of an unusual polling error, in part because if pollsters did know that there was a particularly likely mistake, they'd correct for it. It's unlikely, but possible. And one more time, any errors could be in either direction. So Trump's chances are slim indeed. I'm Jonathan Bernstein. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. On the economic front today, we get the first reading on third quarter GDP, and economists are predicting a 32% gain after last quarter's historic slump. Let's get more from Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice.
Second quarter GDP dropped at a record 31.4% pace as the pandemic forced lockdowns. But the Federal Reserve and the government rode to the rescue. And Bloomberg Economics sees consumer spending and business investment driving a third quarter snapback. Fourth quarter growth is projected to moderate, and year-over-year GDP is seen declining. Unemployment remains elevated, and many small businesses are struggling. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thanks. Today is also a big day for tech earnings. As we've said, Apple, Amazon, Alphabet and Facebook all report this afternoon. For more on what to expect from Apple, we bring in Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky.
The variety and strength of Apple's recent iPhone 12 launch, along with a cheaper iPhone SE and extended work and learn from home situations, could drive device shipment strength and services sales over the next year, according to Bloomberg Intelligence. Analysts are forecasting a quarterly profit of about 70 cents a share on revenue of nearly $63.5 billion. But the Bloomberg revenue scenario is notably higher at $73.6 billion. Apple's 2021 fiscal year may see a continuation of the fiscal fourth quarter strength. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Larry, thank you. Shares of Ford are up almost 6% in early trading. The automaker beat estimates with its third quarter earnings. Profits were driven by demand in North America for pickup trucks. The company now expects to stay in the black this year. While shares of eBay fell 4% in late trading, the company's marketplace growth slowed in the third quarter. That's causing concern that an online shipping boost from the pandemic isn't sustainable. S&P futures up 19 points, Dow futures up 117, NASDAQ futures up 96 points. This is Bloomberg. And Bloomberg Sports was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures are rebounding from yesterday's losses. The S&P 500 lost 3.5% yesterday, its biggest drop since June. Meanwhile, futures this morning are rising, with S&P futures up about 23 points, Dow futures up 139, and NASDAQ futures up 110. The DAX in Germany is up 0.5%, 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 0.77%, the yield on the 2-year 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil is down 3.4% on $1.28 to $36.11 a barrel. COMEX gold down about 0.1% on $1 at $18.78.20 an ounce. The euro 1.1722 against the dollar, British pound 1.2988, and the yen 104.04. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, French police say an attacker with a knife killed at least three people at a church in the city of Nice. According to French media, one victim, a woman, was decapitated. The city's mayor described the violence as terrorism. Fast-moving Zeta made landfall, slamming into the Gulf Coast as a Category 2 hurricane. At least one person is dead in New Orleans. Hundreds of thousands are left without power in Louisiana and Mississippi. The damaging winds and rain now moving inland, threatening states all the way across the Carolinas and then into parts of the Northeast. President Trump and Democratic rival Joe Biden will be in Florida today. Trump and Biden will be in Tampa at different times. Only 5 days are left until Election Day. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
There are 5 days until the election, 46 days until the Electoral College meets, and we are following all the developments in the 2020 race live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studio. Some of the latest include the Supreme Court dealing Republicans a pair of blows on mail-in ballot deadlines. Former Homeland Security Chief of Staff Miles Taylor revealing himself as the anonymous author who criticized the Trump administration from within, and President Trump stirring his rallies with exaggerated, if not false, claims about Democrat Joe Biden. Let's get more on all these stories now from Bloomberg Politics editor Kathleen Hunter. Kate, good morning. Let's start with the Supreme Court decisions when it comes to mail-in balloting. What were the rulings and what's the likely impact?
Well, it was a setback for the Republicans in the sense that in two battleground states, Pennsylvania and North Carolina, essentially the court ruled that extensions are allowable. So, i.e., if you mail your ballot by Election Day but it isn't received for a couple days later in those states, that those ballots are still going to be counted. That's seen as, you know, potentially a boost for Democrats because we know that Democrats, or there's some indications that Democrats are voting at higher rates by mail than Republicans, partly because Trump, you know, has really criticized and indicated that vote by mail might be potentially fraudulent. And so his supporters were seeing at higher rates going to the polls. And so I think that, you know, this is potentially, you know, a boost for Democrats.
So potentially a setback for Republicans, but this comes after some earlier decisions that sort of went their way. What does the court's rationale seem to be when it comes to deciding questions about the length of time to receive and count mail-in ballots?
Well, you're right. There was a ruling earlier this week where there was a concurrent opinion from Justice Kavanaugh, who we all know is a Trump appointee, that, you know, caused some concern among Democrats in terms of because it, you know, had some implications potentially for after the election. So I think that this is certainly just another example of how closely watched the Supreme Court's going to be in the coming, you know, really just days now and weeks potentially after the election. There's always kind of been this sense that this is going to be a particularly litigious election. So, you know, if there are these challenges after November 3rd, the Supreme Court's going to be deciding them. So everyone's watching very closely to see how some of these earlier rulings go. The one earlier this week had to do with voting in Wisconsin, another battleground state. And so I think that people are trying to read the tea leaves now to try to get an indication of which way the court's going to lean.
Well, let's read the tea leaves as far as how early voting is going so far. We've been reporting this morning more than 73 million ballots have been cast either by mail or in person early voting. Where do things seem to be going in that early vote?
Well, I think it's really significant, the really high level, as you've just cited, of early voting that we're seeing. And I think, again, you know, there are some indications that that early voting is trending in a Democratic direction. Now, that doesn't mean that won't be offset by, you know, in-person voting on Election Day on the Republican side, but it's worth noting. And I think that, you know, it'll be interesting to see down the road how these elections pan out, if this is the beginning of a different sort of style of voting. But the main takeaway as it comes to this election is that I think it sort of downplays the degree to which developments in the final days of the campaign are going to have a bearing on its outcome because, you know, anything that happened, if that number of Americans have already voted, anything that happens in the last 5 days isn't going to affect their vote.
And as the early vote continues, President Trump is continuing to hold these large outdoor rallies. He's going to be in Florida later today, right around the same time as his Democratic opponent, Joe Biden, is going to be in the Sunshine State as well. Give us a sense of how these rallies are going for the president, whether it seems to be moving the needle in any way in his direction.
Well, the president, you know, these rallies, even back, going back a few weeks when we saw him, you know, in the hospital being diagnosed with COVID-19, you know, he was very, very eager to get back out on the campaign trail to do more of these rallies. He's done these rallies consistently in spite of the, you know, medical advice that indicates that perhaps these events aren't completely COVID safe, but he has a lot of confidence in his ability to rally his base, get people to the polls, and potentially shift the momentum, you know, between now and Election Day by doing a lot of these rallies. And so I expect them to continue to ramp up. However, that being said, the polling doesn't indicate that they're making a whole lot of difference. And so, you know, it is a strategy he relied upon very heavily and that worked for him in 2016. It remains to be seen whether it's going to work this time around.
And when it comes to what's actually being said at these rallies, if you take a close look at them, I would imagine that it's giving fact checkers quite a lot of work when it comes to some of the claims the president's been making about what a Joe Biden presidency might mean.
Absolutely. There has, you know, been a lot of claims that the president has made at these rallies, particularly about Joe Biden's record, that don't necessarily stand up to fact checking. And, you know, on everything from, you know, fracking to, you know, defunding the police, just on a range of topics. And, you know, I think that the degree to which that matters to his base may not really be that high, but I think it will have an impact potentially with, you know, more moderate Republicans and independent voters. And, you know, the thing about Joe Biden is that he's been in public life for four decades. So, you know, there's a very well-established record of where he stands on issues, for better or worse. And so trying to distort his record, I think, is particularly problematic for Trump at this stage.
And we mentioned that the president's going to be in Florida today. Tell us about some of the states that he's been staging these rallies at and what it says about where he thinks his campaign is going, which battlegrounds he thinks is going to be key to trying to narrow the gap with Biden.
Well, obviously, Florida is a big one, as you mentioned. Both candidates are there. And he's been in North Carolina a ton. My alma mater state from college. And so that's one that's going to be pretty close. It's when Obama won in 08. You know, he then narrowly lost in 2012. Trump narrowly won 4 years ago. So it's been back and forth a bit in North Carolina. So that's one that's going to be very hotly contested. Arizona is another. He's been out in Phoenix a few times. That's a state that traditionally has gone Republican, but is looking to be a little bit more in play. Obviously, Pennsylvania is a huge state with a lot of electoral votes. That's one we're all going to be watching very closely. So really, the map is quite big at this stage.
All right. Bloomberg Politics Editor Kathleen Hunter, you're going to be watching that map very carefully as we get closer to Election Day. And you can follow all the latest on Campaign 2020 at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. And as always, follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington at Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It's 6:55 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It's brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology. NJIT makes business leaders, innovators, analysts, and entrepreneurs. NJIT is future in the making, tech-driven, business-focused. More at njit.edu. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. Federal agencies warn that cyber criminals are unleashing a wave of extortion attempts against the U.S. health care system. The cyber attacks involve ransomware, which scrambles data into gibberish that can only be unlocked with software keys provided once victims pay up. The second astronaut flight from SpaceX has been called off until mid-November. That's because red lacquer dripped into tiny vent holes in two rocket engines that now must be replaced. The clogged holes were found after the aborted launch of a GPS satellite earlier this month. SpaceX later found the same problem with two of the nine booster engines on the rocket that will launch four astronauts to the International Space Station. It'll be SpaceX's second launch of astronauts for NASA after a successful test flight earlier this year. And the owner of TikTok is deepening its push into online education. China's ByteDance has taken the wraps off its first consumer gadget, a $100 lamp with built-in displays for kids. The company's smart lamp has a touchscreen, camera, and a built-in voice assistant that can tutor school children on their homework. Parents can check in remotely via a mobile app connected to the lamp's camera. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. And again, futures this morning, they're on the rise. S&P futures up 22 points. Dow futures up 135. NASDAQ futures up 116. 10-year Treasury down 2/32. The yield 0.77%. And the yield on the 2-year at 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil falling down 3.5%. Bloomberg surveillance straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.